Coming up on March 30th through April 1st at Cleveland State University's Wolstein Center, the 16th first robotics competition Buckeye Regional, and that first is for inspiration and recognition of science and technology, where students will be competing. I've got some teams from Lorain, Avon, Amherst, Medina area as well. The challenge is young people to work with mentors in 6 weeks to build, design a robot to play a predefined game. And joining us is one of those mentors, Michael Hayes, who's involved in this program. Good morning, Michael. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
So tell me, how does it that you become, now, what's your day job that you want to spend time mentoring kids in this robotics competition?
I work as an engineer for GE out in Erie, Pennsylvania. And about 20 years ago, someone tapped me on the shoulder and said, you should help with this. And I looked at it and I said, yeah, that looks like a lot of fun, actually. So 20 years later, here we are.
No, has it changed over 20 years? I mean, technology evolves. Is that same type of thing of what they were first designing 20 years ago to what's coming up for this weekend or the 30th look different to you?
Absolutely. I'm 50 years old. So when I was in high school, our high-tech competitions involved duct tape and coat hangers. These kids are working with, you know, gyroscopes or gyroscopic electronic circuit boards, laser, retroreflective tapes and cameras that are able to look at targets and determine, you know, trajectories and things. Very cutting-edge stuff. They're working with stuff that I can only dream of working in high school, or for that matter, even college. They're really doing some pretty cool stuff.
Michael, where do the students get the materials and the early expertise to put these things together?
Well, there's an awful lot of help available to you through the FIRST organization itself. When you register, you pay $5,000, which gets you the kit of materials and the registration fee covered for one competition. And then, of course, working with the mentors that you have, there's all sorts of resource available to you that way to make sure that, you know, when you turn the switch on, the thing drives around and does what it's supposed to do.
Now, what do they do? A lot of times us on a sort of the outside world, we think of robots, you know, and they're the high energy one with the like battle bots where they show these robots competing against each other for, you know, life or death situations for destruction with flames and in buzzsaws. What type of tasks are these robots going to be competing in at the Wolstein Center?
These competitions aren't quite as much of the life and death kind of thing that the BattleBots do. I always make the comparison that BattleBots might be like boxing, where your objective is to pulverize your opponent to the point that he actually loses consciousness. These robots are playing a game more like, let's say, hockey, where you got to be tough. You got to be able to take a hit and maybe even deliver one, but you get no points for being, you know, for just doing that. You got to be able to do something offensively productive. So particularly this year's game, which the game changes every year, so it's always fresh, it's always new. But this year's particular game, there's three different ways the robots can score points. They can either throw these little wiffle balls up and into a what they call a boiler, which is about 8 feet tall and has maybe a 2 foot diameter hole in the top of it. They can harvest these gears that are about 10 inches across and bring them down and place them onto a transmission that the The theme of the game is this thing called an airship. Uh-huh. Right? It's modeled after H.G. Wells and Jules Verne and all that sort of stuff. So they take these gears harvested from the field or from a chute that the humans can feed the robots through, and they take the gears and they place them onto a transmission. The transmission then can activate and turn rotors, which in theory would make the airship take flight, which of course doesn't actually happen, but it's the thought that counts. And then the third thing they can do is they can actually climb ropes up to a certain height to a basically climb on board is the explanation that they're making for the robots doing this thing. They're going to climb these ropes to a certain height, and that will trigger a button which gives them more points. So most robots will tackle at least two of those things. Some will only do one. A few robots actually have the ability to do all three.
We're talking today with Michael Hayes, one of the mentors involved in the team who's taking place in the Buckeye, I guess, regionals or whatever related to the competition. How do you develop a team? I'm sure there's like clubs at the schools that sort of have this interest. How does that get to a point where they're the ones building and competing? And then are there different tasks that different students, and how do you mentor all of that?
It's really, it starts with just interest, right? So as soon as the school says, well, we're interested, but how do we do that? The great thing about FIRST is the community of teams and how the teams support each other. As much as we compete with each other, there's a whole lot more emphasis put on how do you cooperate. So it's frequent, it's typical that you'll see teams reaching out to each other and say, hey, listen, we're a little shorthanded. Can you help us out with some extra people to do scouting? Or, hey, we need some aluminum angle. Do you have any spare? We need 2x2x8-inch thick angle. Do you have? Yeah, we have a piece. Come on over and get it. It's, you know, just take it. Don't worry about it. So there's a lot of that sort of collaboration at competitions. It's the same thing with regard to getting teams started. It's very, if you have a team that has interest, have them get in touch with FIRST, which is you can get to the website through firstinspires.org, or, you know, get in touch with us. Our team website is team291.org, and you can, you know, get in touch with us, and we'll try to hook you up with some information about how to get started. It really typically is a confluence of a few different entities, right? You've got to have a sufficient number of kids that want to do this. Typically, an average-sized team is about 20, 25 kids, although there have been teams as small as 10. Typically, you need at least a couple adults that have some technical ability. That can be teachers, or it could be mentors from, you know, area universities or area companies. And you need to lock up some funding, although even that can be taken care of through grants, through like NASA and stuff like that, to make sure you get off the ground and run. The total budget for a first-year team is usually somewhere in the ballpark of about $8,000 to $10,000. But if you figure that, you know, if you get 25 kids that are going to do something and it costs $10,000, that's about $400 a kid, and that's not, you know, you probably spend that much equipping a kid with a really good baseball mitt and a pair of spikes. So it's kind of reasonable when you think of it that way. And the fact that they give out, I think there's $50 million this year being given out in scholarships to kids that participate in FIRST, and it's something along the order of one in four kids or one in three kids who applies for a scholarship gets one. So that's, you know, that makes a pretty good case for the project, too.
I might have missed. Is there a kit that they get, or is this all starting from, you know, scratch? And second to that, a lot of those type of, you know, shop class, auto shop, those kind of hands-on building kind of things don't really exist a lot of schools. And how does that play into what you have to do? How do you get to all this stuff done?
Well, as far as the kit is concerned, the kit contains basic elements that you would need to build, you know, a basic drivetrain. And I sometimes will tell people it's sort of like you get motors and you get electronics. So if you will, it's the brains and the muscles is what you get in the kit. And a few elements that will help you with the skeleton, you know, the bones and so forth, to give you the structure to this thing. And then beyond that, you go out and buy or get donated. We actually get donated through a supplier in town that says, well, whatever aluminum you need, just let us know. We'll give it to you for nothing. So because you're not asking for the moon and the stars, you're asking for, look, I need a few hundred dollars worth of aluminum, stuff that you'd probably call scrap, we will actually build into a robot. So, you know, that works out okay. In terms of a school that does this that has no machine shop, that's where you can turn to the community and say, you know, do you have a machine shop in town? Can any of you, you know, turn a couple shafts of steel on a lathe for us and get to a 5/8-inch diameter with a snap ring groove? That's all I need. And then beyond that, the rest of it can be done with the kit. But the ability to work with any kind of machining capability doesn't have to be extensive. There are kids that build their robots. Their structural elements will get built out of wood. And they make it work. But it's I tell the kids all the time, I say, start with the belief that it's possible. If you start thinking that it can't be done, you've defeated yourself before you even start. Start with the belief that it's possible, and then just find out how to make it possible. You know, what do I do? Who do I have to call? Start by knocking on doors and calling phones that you can think of, and things will open up.
Michael, the competition opens on March 30th. When did the kids actually begin working on these robots?
They get 6 weeks, specifically 45 days. So the first Saturday after New Year's Day is when they find out, here is what the game is going to be, here is what you get points for, here are the constraints that the robot has to be built under, and then 45 days later it has to be sealed up in a bag, hands off, wrenches down. So you get 45 days to go from concept to finished product.
And obviously,
it's a roller coaster ride.
Right. Then there's some, you know, research and development, testing, you kind of practice it, but nothing's like what's going to happen when you come to the Wolstein Center. What happens there, and how can people, what do we, come out and cheer them on, see them? What's the process for people who want to maybe be a part of this but aren't obviously one of the students?
Couldn't be simpler. The admission is free. All first events, the admission is always free. There's never a charge. And beyond that, it's the, you know, what you're going to see. I think sometimes when you say robotics competition, people picture some sort of a table-mounted plastic robot that takes a half an hour to pick up a golf pencil and put it in a styrofoam cup. This is absolutely not that. Imagine the NCAA Final Four pandemonium, but add toolboxes. You're going to have a field that's about 57 or 54 feet long and 27 feet wide. So it's sort of half of the arena at the Wolstein Center is that. The other half of the arena is the pit area. And on that field, you're going to have six robots playing against each other in two alliances of three robots apiece. And I sometimes describe it as it's one part drag race, one part chess match, one part science fair, one part rock concert, and one part rugby scrum. It's just, it's a ridiculous amount of fun. I have never yet had someone come to this who didn't talk to me afterwards and say, I had no idea it was this cool. This is awesome. If you have a kid who has any interest at all in engineering, you bring him to this or bring her to this, more to the point. Bring either, you know, boys and girls, because there are some teams that are entirely girls, and they kick butt. They're awesome. People say, oh, is this just for boys, right? What are you, living in the 19th century? Come on. This is for anybody. And the kids that do this are awesome. If you have a son or daughter or niece or nephew, grandson or granddaughter who has interest or in any way might enjoy this, bring them. They're going to have the time of their lives.
How many rounds do this, and is there like repairs taking place, modifications? How is it that you
all
get
the
from
time.
One round to the next then?
All the time. I mean, any competition you go to, there's going to be repairs. Things are going to go wrong. They're going to figure out how to fix them. There's going to be improvements that people are going to make. Hey, we figured out why this isn't working. We're going to change this and make that modification and see how you come out the next match. Total through the course of the 3 days, Thursday is all practice. So you'll have a lot of teams trying stuff out. Let's see if this works. I want to make sure we can do that well. I just want to make sure we get this routine down, so forth. Friday, all day Friday and Saturday morning is qualification matches. So think of it like Thursday is the preseason for the NFL. Friday, all day Friday and then Saturday morning is the regular season. And then Saturday afternoon are the playoffs. So, yeah, leading up to a Super Bowl.
If you win this competition, what happens? What do you get? Tell me a little bit, maybe just about that final day, or where this goes after today, after that day.
Bragging rights, and then you move on to the world championships, which are being held. They're actually going to do two world championships because there's not enough room to do just one and have all the teams make it there. Because there's about 100 some competitions all over the world. That go on. There's competitions in Australia and Israel and of course, Mexico, Canada, U.S. And the world championships used to be just one place. I'd have it like in St. Louis or Atlanta, and there'd be about, you know, 600 teams would come to this thing. At this point, they are now having two different world championships because I think they're going to have, I don't know if it's 800 or 1,000 teams that are going to be in attendance. And it's really just a celebration of, hey, let's get these kids inspired. When the acronym FIRST, or for Inspiration and Recognition of Science and Technology, the kids are going to learn a lot, but the primary objective is to keep kids inspired. Because if kids are inspired with possibility, they'll pedal their own bike to get to wherever they need to go. If we were just worried about education, it might turn out to be too much lecture and not enough doing. This is very much about doing and getting the kids revved up.
Again, it's the first robotic competition taking place at the Wolstein Center at Cleveland State University, March 30th through April 1st. You can go to firstbuckeye.com teamnames.org to find out more details. I like the team names on this. Locally here in Lorain, they have, because the Titans, they have Titaniums. In Avon, where they're the Eagles, it's the Avon Eagle Robotics Organization, or Aero. And the Amherst has the Theoreticals. What's the name of the team that you're mentoring?
We work with a team called CIA. It's short for Creativity in Action. We used to be called the Tenacious Techno Motivators, and we found out that when you got to competition, you couldn't really chant that very well, so we had to make a change.
See, there's not only the part of what you're doing, it's, you know, there's a little style, also maybe, you know, the aesthetics, and then the promotion to the whole thing, too. And it works better on a T-shirt, I suppose, too, if you do that.
Absolutely everything that you see at a college or a pro sports venue, you'll see here. Painted faces, mascots, pom-poms, noisemakers, cheering, screaming, strategy, offense, defense, it's all there.
Well, you
just got to come down and see it.
Right, and I suppose duct tape. You started by saying when you started it was like duct tape and coat hanger. I'm thinking, you know, a duct tape and coat hangers, that can get you far even in the technology of 2017, that's for sure.
Well, on this year's on the first competitions, duct tape is not permitted.
Wow.
You got to get a little bit more, you know, a little less Stone Age than just duct tape. So that's kind of a neat thing, I think. Otherwise, there'd be a lot of duct tape.
Oh, that's sure. It's always the go-to for anybody along the way. But we appreciate your time this morning, Michael. Michael Hayes joining us this morning, talking about the event taking place at the Wolstein Center. A lot of future engineers will be out there as well. And who knows what, you talk about the creativity. Who knows what's in their mind and possibly could be developed from all of that fun that comes out of that event. Appreciate your time this morning, Michael. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
So Michael Hayes joining us again this morning. He works as engineer with GE and out of the Erie, Pennsylvania area. But the 16th first for inspiration and recognition of science and technology robotics competition, Buckeye Regional, March 30th through April 1st at Cleveland State University Wolstein Center. And a slight side trivia note, our own Z Zoltai, who you know from the Saturday morning wrap-up and also a lot of our high school sports play-by-play. He, in the early 2000s, was the MC for some of the robotics competition there as well.